We thank you, Lord. We praise your holy name. We worship you, Lord, for you are worthy to be praised. We thank you, Lord, for your glory, for your goodness to us, for your love, for teaching us so much. We are so privileged and so honored. You have opened up so much of your word to us. And we thank you, Lord, for all that we've learned, and you're continuing to grow us up in you. And we give you praise and we give you glory in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, welcome to ABC Healing School, Semester 3. And tonight we're kind of combining two modules. They really go hand in hand together. One is called the Cleansing Overview, and the other one is Cleansing Sessions Guidelines. And these are teachings that you will want to pay attention to and take to heart in preparation for whenever we do cleansing sessions, whenever we have a cleansing retreat. We want to be able to remember these things. So this is something. It's a little early now, but it's good to learn it now. If you've had the teaching before, then this should be a good review, and we need to keep up on it so that when we come to the time when we're actually doing the cleansing sessions, we'll be up to speed with all that we need to remember and do. Okay? So, here we go, class. We'll start with the cleansing overview, which is really the nuts and bolts of a cleansing session. It's what this whole process is all about, and this is how it's laid out. There are actually four different steps. The first one is counseling sessions, and I call this preparing the ground. Step two is breaking sessions. This is laying the foundation. Step three, the cleansing sessions themselves, this is building the house. And then step four, post-cleansing, is the follow-up. And this is the whole procedure. So let's take a look at it detail by detail. Step one, the counseling sessions. Number one, they need to be private and individual. Cleansing is something which is sometimes very uncomfortable for people in the beginning. Many of us have had challenges with devils, demons, and evil spirits for many, many years, sometimes decades. And they become so a part of us that we don't really even realize what part they play until we start going through healing school, semesters one, and then semester two, and into semester three to learn what sin is, what these bad habits are, and how the devils, demons, and evil spirits actually work to create all of these challenges that we go through. Okay, so we want to keep it private and individual, again, because it's uncomfortable as people start out on this journey, an unfamiliar journey. We want it to be something that we can have a comfortable environment for them in which to do it. So it's private and it's individual. And we have a ministry couple to one individual, or we have couple to couple, or we have male to male and female to female. We always want to keep that line of guidance very strictly. It's very important. Our goal is to identify sources of trauma, major sins or habits, which give demonic access by asking the Holy Spirit to bring these to the subject's memory, especially childhood memories. Because these devils, demons, and evil spirits had to enter at some point, and for probably all of us, started sometime when we were very young. And we didn't know that we were letting them in. But once we know, then we can start doing something about it. And in the process of identifying these times, very often things come to light. I like to use the example of an onion skin. Okay, we have an onion. Here's the onion, okay? And here's our perspective looking from the outside in. So now we attack something that's very obvious, a traumatic situation, something that really stands out in our memory. And so we start adding that to a list of curses that we write down. And as we go after each one of these, then we're able to take away one of those layers of onion skin. And every time we take away a layer, we get to see a whole new perspective, more detail, more fine-tuning, step by step by step. And we had a situation with one lady. She was really a very nice lady, but very troubled. And in the process of going through looking for and identifying things, she was brought to the memory that her parents had made her available for sexual favors outside the family. And that was horrific. Her parents actually got paid to do this. She grew up with them, but she was made available when the time was asked. And that was a horrific thing for her. But it helped. That first step has to be that you know, that you recognize what's going on, because you can't do anything about it until you know. So once she knew, then she could write that down, identify it, and she was on her way, taking it step by step to be able to deal with those devils, demons, and evil spirits. So after that, as these things become identified, we create list of curses. It's words and it's actions. And on the words, it's words that we have spoken or words that have been spoken to us or about us. Any words that have influenced us, that have affected us. And actions, same thing there. And typically, as an approximate guideline, this takes 2 or 3 sessions of maybe an hour each. So once we go through this part of the process with the counseling sessions, we move on to the breaking sessions. And here it's recommended that we have 2 ministers per subject. We break curses, the student prays the prayer of breaking curses, and the ministers agree. Remember, as we go through this prayer, it's the subject prays one line, and then the ministers agree line by line. Every step of the way, we agree because we're making it powerful. Where 2 or 3 are agreed as touching anything on earth, it shall be done for them. And so we want to work together with this person who's looking to get set free. And we partner in breaking curses. Then we want to do the 3 witness anointing and the 3 witness prayers. And typically, this is taking 1 or 2 sessions of 1 to 1.5 hours each. And I might mention one detail that's very important about the breaking curses. This is an absolutely mandatory step of the whole process, because in identifying and then breaking these curses, we are taking away the legal right of the demons to stay. They have every right to stay until we start verbalizing these things, praying the prayer, speaking the word of God over us, calling them out and saying, I'm done with you. No more in Jesus' name. So that's very, very important, because we couldn't have the cleansing sessions until after we pray to take away the legal right. Once they have no legal right to stay, then we're free to go ahead with the cleansing sessions and cast those DDEs out. We don't want them anymore. So then we come up to the cleansing sessions. It is recommended that we have a minimum of 5 ministers per subject. It's a good number. It's a number of grace, I know. But it also is a good number to work with a person to be able to cover all bases. And generally, it's best to have all or at least a majority of those ministering to be of the same sex as the subject person. Now we go through an introduction to the session. We get everybody in place, and if there are multiple sessions going on at the same time, then we get everybody in place and there's an introduction given. And then we do a general breaking of curses for all the categories of sins known and unknown. Now, understand that we've done it individually, step by step with the people, but now this is all of the general categories as they have become known to us. And we want to take those in the cleansing session, and we're naming them. We're speaking them out, and we're covering all of that. Then we go into worship. And as we're doing all this, we're building the anointing because the devil hates the anointing of God. So the more anointing we have, the faster the cleansing takes place. After the worship, we go into communion. And after communion, we want to do a three-witness anointing. And that's followed by casting out demons and devils and washing out the evil spirits, washing out Nephilim and giants, and replacing them with the Spirit of God. You know the story of the spirit that was cast out, and he came back. And the place was clean, but nothing had come to replace him. So he decided to move back in, and he invited seven more, worse than himself. We call them the seven worsers. So then we've got a situation that's far worse than the first beginning part of that situation. So we don't want to do that. What we want to do is make sure that every time we cast out a devil, demon, or evil spirit, we replace it with the Spirit of God. We want to fill that house with the anointing and the presence of our Lord in each person. And typically, this is one or two sessions of 2 to 4 hours each. Let me mention something here. When we start on the three-witness anointing, sometimes we go all the way through it and then move into the cleansing. Sometimes, even just on the water, washing out all the evil, as in the days of Noah, sometimes we only get a little ways into this prayer, and all of a sudden there's an explosion of devils. Just, ah, they can't stand that. They want to get out. And so we are flexible. We roll with the Spirit as He leads us. And when something makes itself known that it's ready to go, then we jump right on that and we move forward to begin the cleansing session at that point. If there's opportunity later to finish the three witness, great. Sometimes there's not. Sometimes we just go and cast out and cast out and cast out, and that's wonderful. That means the person is well prepared. We've always said this, that the better prepared you are coming into semester three, the more beneficial it will be for you. And that is true with the cleansing sessions. The better preparation you put into it is the faster and easier we get rid of all that junk that you don't want anymore in your life. Okay, now we come to step four, which is post-cleansing. We give special instructions to the subject, and those special instructions include a listing of all the sins that were named, of all the DDEs that were cast out. And generally, among the five people, we have what we call a secretary, someone who has a list of things that the person has already prayed and confessed. So that's a starting ground. But there may be other things that come up during the session that the Holy Spirit leads us to. And so that person writes it down so that we have a record and we know how to pray. We know how to deal with it. And we know what to tell the subject. Special instructions are, here are the sins that we've covered. Here are the things that have been cast out. And you are going to have to stay on guard against all of these, because they're all going to want to come back into you. They're going to fight. They're going to make it tempting to come back. And you've got to stand your ground and say no. You've got to be aware. Okay? So those are the instructions. And then debriefing for the ministers. Now, sometimes we have someone who's never been a minister before, or they've never seen this type of situation. They may have questions. In any case, we want to get together and review, what did we do right? Was there anything maybe we could have changed that would have worked out better? These are the kinds of things we talk about here, and we want to make everybody aware that we need to pray for this person. Over the next few days, very, very critical. We're a family, we're a group, we're a team. We work together to get this person free. Now we want to help that person stay free. So they need us, they need our prayers, they need our support, and that includes a follow-up call with the subject, especially during the first week following the cleansing. Now, after that, staying in touch with the person is still a good idea, but that first week is critical. Okay, now let's move on to the cleansing session guidelines. So this is for the cleansing sessions themselves. In other words, it would be step 3 that we just covered. Now, as an introduction, we want to understand that we have authority. The authority of God to do this. Let's look at some scriptures. Matthew 28:18. Jesus said, all power in heaven and earth is given unto me. And what did he do with it? He gave it to us. So we have all power in heaven and earth. All we have to do is exercise that power and authority. We have to speak it. We have to act it. We have to live up to what God expects us to do, and that is awesome. Luke 10:17-19, nothing shall by any means hurt you. One of the things some people have a concern about is, well, when I cast demons out of this person, are they going to jump over on me then? And God promises nothing shall by any means hurt you. No, we're casting them out far, far away where they have no right to come back and no right to affect anybody here again. Mark 16:17, here Jesus is giving us the authority. In my name, you cast out demons. It's a command. He's telling us, okay, come on, go and do it. This is very important. He did it. And he expects us to do it. Praise God. So, knowing that he's now lined up with us, and we're lined up with him, and we've got that authority, let's look at what all is involved. As a ministry, we want all to participate. So we've got the subject, and we've got 5 ministers, right? We want everybody to participate. Understand, this is not a spectator sport. I know for those that are new to it, it's kind of amazing what they see, and they may not know what to expect, but it's not our job to sit back Google-eyed and just watching in amazement. No, we have a part to play in this. We're a team. We need to work together. And what we have here are 4 major roles. Remember, there are 5 ministers, there are 4 major roles. So we all have something to do. One is commanding demons. Let's say it's a demon of fear. Fear, in the name of Jesus, come out of her. In the name of Jesus, come out. Fear, out. That's commanding the demons out. Okay, encouraging the subject. Let's say the subject's name is Mary. Mary, you're doing great. Mary, we're with you. We're here with you. You're doing great. Keep pressing in. Keep pressing in. I know you want to get set free, and you're doing great. So that's encouraging. And there's generally one person in particular that would serve as an encourager to the subject, and that person generally sits behind the subject. Then you have intercessory prayer for the hedge of protection and for isolation. This can be both in English and in tongues. And this is something where it's very important to keep that anointing. Remember, we were building the anointing at the beginning. As we continue in, we need to keep that anointing flowing. We need to just keep it strong in the presence of the Lord. The more we have the Lord's presence, the less the devil likes it, and the faster he's going to want to leave. Okay, and then the last one, the fourth major role, is releasing the anointing. This is releasing the rivers of living water that are building up in us. And we're praying in the Spirit, and we're releasing them. And a lot of times we're just releasing, flowing with the anointing to the group, letting the Holy Spirit minister not just to the subject, but minister to the ministers who are ministering to the subject. Okay. Now, there are two types of leadership. And the first one is the group or organizational, in other words, the assigned leader. There's one person who's basically in charge of the cleansing session. Now, there's what we call spiritual leadership. This is with the Holy Spirit leading. There are times when the Holy Spirit will speak something to somebody, and they'll say, well, you know, they feel like the Lord's saying we need to pray for such and such, which might be a little bit different from what is currently done. So what that person does, they get a leading from the Holy Spirit, is to speak to the strong leadership, the organizational one, the one who's in charge. Always needs to go through this person. We don't just jump into it. We want to keep everything in good order. And so you let that person know, I believe the Lord's saying such and such. So at that point, then either the group leader speaks it out, or the group leader may give the spiritual leadership to the person to whom the Holy Spirit spoke it. But understand that the spiritual leadership is going to change from time to time. It's going to be with that person as long as they're praying for that particular item. And you don't want to be pushy or try to hog the leadership. Remember, we're all in this together to help the person who is the subject for that day. So it's not about us, it's about that person. And we want to be able to be a blessing to that person. So we work as a team in unity together. Part two here is actually cleansing sessions, which is a repeat of what we had in the overview section. So I'm going to skip this one. We've covered this pretty well about building the anointing and the process of how we get into the cleansing sessions. Let's look at the ministering process. First of all, there are physical guidelines. We have the subject in the middle, and the five ministers are encircled around the subject. Number two, I have this underlined in red. I have a red asterisk next to it. Keep your eyes open. I'm going to repeat that. Keep your eyes open. Why do we say that? Well, you know, traditionally we've been taught, okay, close your eyes, we're going to pray. So, okay, we're going to pray. So everybody closes their eyes and bows their heads. Okay, so we're not paying attention to the person in the middle. We're not looking at the subject, we're not seeing what the demons are doing if our eyes are closed and our heads are bowed. We need to stay on top of these demons. They act up. They don't really want to come out. You know that. Their right to stay has been taken away, but they're still going to fight to stay. Some of the stronger ones are going to let some of the lesser important ones go first, and they're going to just hang on. So you've got to watch out for that. You've got to watch and see what they're going to do. What if everybody's sitting there around this in the circle with their eyes closed, and the devil decides to push the subject off the chair? And you hear this thud, and you look up, and it's like, oh, what happened? Need to stay on top of it so that you can work with the person, work with the demons when they start acting up. So keep your eyes open. And in a session, because people are still so prone to close their eyes, this is why we're emphasizing this so heavily, we have a little thing that we do. Rather than interrupt the flow of the cleansing session, if someone is being challenged, we'll tap them on the shoulder and we'll do this, which is a reminder, keep your eyes open. Okay? Moving on, be ready to restrain the subject when necessary. Well, there's that example I just gave of what would happen if your eyes were closed and all of a sudden, you know, the demons are pushing this person over. You want to be able to hold them upright, or maybe restrain them if they're getting wild or crazy. We need to be able to hold them down so that they do not create damage to the subject nor to anybody else. Okay, we don't want to hurt the subject in the restraining. And so here we want to be sure that it's a gentle but firm touch, holding things in order. Okay, so there's no heavy hitting, no demons come out of them. We don't want to do that. No, we don't need the heavy-handed pressure on there. We don't need to hit the people. The demons can hear, and they just need to hear us telling them to leave. So we can touch the person when guided. So in general, you would not touch a subject unless you are led by the Holy Spirit. For example, to apply anointing by waves or hand moving upwards. Now the waves is rivers of living water coming out of us, and we're sending out waves of anointing throughout the group, waves of anointing over the subject and over the other four ministers, or however many there are. We'll assume five. The moving the hands, very often there's a lot of challenge in the abdominal area, and sometimes we may need to put our hand there, and we can feel the unrest, we can feel the demons there, and then we just move our hands upwards, and the idea is that the demons will be expelled out of the mouth. Many times they come in through words, the words that we speak. And so if they came in that way, they're going to go out the same way they came in. You can touch the subject if directed by the group leader. Maybe the group leader wants to bring on a heavier anointing by having all five people touch the subject, just gently letting the anointing flow. But all the time we're continuing to call out the devils, demons, and evil spirits. And if it appears obviously necessary, again, that's referring back to what I said about things going wild, a person thrashing or starting to fall over or something like that, then it's obviously necessary for us to be able to come together to hold the person in place so they don't fall or so they don't get hurt in the demons trying to thrash them. Okay, The last one is you want to avoid committing the types of sins for which the DDEs are being cast out. In other words, if there's fear, you're casting out fear. Well, you don't want to just shrivel back and not participate because you're being challenged by fear yourself. And, oh my goodness, ah! No. That should not be a part of you at all. We who are ministers need to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, that we can be partners with the subject in helping that person to get set free. That's what it's all about. Setting us free from the effects of the enemy so that we got more room for more of the Lord in us. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, the spiritual guidelines, Hebrews 6:12 tells us that our authority is through faith and patience that we get the victory. Faith and patience. Faith in the Word of God, faith in this process that the Lord has designated, and the patience. You know what? Patience is a fruit of the Spirit. We have the fruit of the Spirit. The devils do not. So we're one up on them in patience. So if they think they're going to try to push us away and say, oh, they don't have time, whatever. It's like, yeah, we know. We know you're coming out. Yeah, we're patient. We got the Lord on our side. Amen. So, now the time of how long this time takes for us to be patient is dependent on many factors. It's really similar to affirmations because it depends on how long this particular one, let's say fear, has been a challenge. How many episodes in their life has been related to fear? How many curses they actually were able to break? I mean, we could go on and on. It's like affirmations. We can't tell you exactly how long it's going to take. We can't tell you exactly how many affirmations. The goal should be we just do it until the job gets done. And when we have the goal that we're going to do it as long as it takes, guess who gets tired first? The devil. So we want to hang in there for the victory. We want to discuss the origins of demons in our lives. Like fear. The earliest that I had was a fear. It was a very traumatic situation. In my young life, I was 4 years old, this particular incident that I remember. And I had not realized how much it put fear into me, but I was always very timid after that. And even as an adult, I'd realize I'd react to fearful situations. And I came to a realization that fear started way back when. And if you entertain fear, fear is going to keep on keeping on. In fact, fear is going to invite other fear demons until you're loaded with them and you don't even know you have them until you start going through a cleansing process. Praise God for that. So that's an idea of how they get in. Now, evil spirits or Nephilim versus demons. The Nephilim curse, they mock, they do not respond to the name of Jesus. There was a situation where my husband was ministering, and all of a sudden this demon starting to mock my husband and saying, hey, what's that with your accent? You got to learn how to speak English. You know, it's like, he was like, what? Where did that come from? You know, and they kept going, in the name of Jesus. And the demon just kept mocking. Well, this is the kind that you need water anointing. It's an interesting thing with the Catholic Church. They have their holy water, and the priest, I guess, carry a little something with water in it. And in a country overseas, this one priest was walking the streets, and people came running up to him and told him there were demons in this house, and he just had to come. And so he's like, okay. So he goes in, and sure enough, the window was opening and closing all by itself. Fans were flying through the room all by themselves. All these things were going on, and you could not see any person doing any of them. And he's like, what do I do? What do I do? And he was led by the Holy Spirit, apparently, because he took out his holy water and just started spraying it around. And everything calmed down. All the agitation stopped and it was peaceful. And then he got out of there as fast as he could before it started up again, because he really didn't understand what had just happened. We understand now, because the Lord has taught us the power of water over these evil spirits, over the Nephilim. It is amazing. To them, the water is like burning. It's horrible. They hate it. So, if you have somebody's cursing and mocking, that's going to be evil spirit, Nephilim, use water. Now, demons are most common, and they do respond to the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, and then you speak to the demon by name. And both of them, both the demons and the Nephilim, can respond to the blood of Jesus. There's a scripture that says the blood of Jesus speaks to you. And so we want to activate that also. And I just want to mention that the King James Version of the New Testament actually does not use the word demons. It uses devils. And so as we were learning all these things, we added in devils to the mix of demons, devils, and evil spirits. And we consider demons and devils to be pretty much the same, and then evil spirits to be as we mentioned here. General instructions for the ministers, and I can't emphasize this one enough, confidentiality. What happens here stays here. So what happens in this cleansing session, no matter what subject comes up, no matter what demons are cast out, no matter what horrific situations appear to be described, keep it to yourself. Always. We want to build an atmosphere of trust. Who's going to want to go through a cleansing session with people that are going to blab about what's going on in that person's life? They're not. And we don't want to have anything to do with that kind of attitude. We want to respect the people, respect the process they're going through, respect how much time and effort they're putting into getting free, partnering with them, and part of that partnering is keeping confidential everything we see and hear, and never tell another person outside of that group. Very, very important, confidentiality. And that includes information for briefing and debriefing the whole entire day. You want to make the subject comfortable and build trust. The genesis of sin, we've heard throughout healing school, the first four sins: pride, then impatience, and then fear, and then rejection. And the pride, impatience, and fear we can do just inside ourselves with nobody else involved. Rejection starts to expand out and involve other people in reactions. But the pride, impatience, and fear, started with Satan himself and went on to Adam and on down the line. It's true of everybody. It's common to us all. So in building trust, we want to encourage the people to let them know that most of us have gone through this. There may be some new ministers that are joining the group, but often many of us have already been through this process ourselves. And so it's okay, been there, done that. It's a wide range of behavior. There's no real standard, and we don't set any limitations, and we don't put out any expectations for what should or should not happen. And we tell people you won't do anything that's going to be a surprise or a shock to us. It doesn't matter. Don't be concerned about it. It's no big deal. The devil's nasty. He plays dirty. He's going to make things look icky and bad and horrible. That's what he does. That's all he knows. So you just take it in stride, knowing that we have the authority to get rid of all that stuff. If it comes up in the mix, fine. It does, but then we can do something about it. And that's what we want to encourage the subject with. We've been there, we've done that, we've seen a lot of things. Don't be afraid to let it all hang out, because in that process, we're going to get rid of the things. You talk about the sources of sins. These are the different categories that we also give them to break curses in. Known sins, generational sins, and I might add with the generational and sexual partners. If during a cleansing session, somebody calls out a sin that you're like, I've never committed that one. I don't know anything about that. But maybe one of your sexual partners, or somebody in your generations, or in the generations of a sexual partner. We don't know. We've had it in class where we said, okay, how many people know your parents? How many people know your grandparents? How about your great-grandparents? You know, and sooner or later, it gets to the point where all the hands are down. Nobody knows their generations this far back. So if we didn't know them, we don't know what their habits were. We don't know what their sins were. But that still impacts us until the time that we break those connections generationally. Okay, so known sins, generational sins, sexual partners, curses, substance abuse. And substance abuse we think of as alcohol and drugs. And yes, it includes those. But it can also be things like sugar and salt. In fact, they were saying if back when sugar was approved, had they had the guidelines that we do now, it would have been listed as a drug. So it too much of that is really not good at all. So that substance abuse, the occult, and the occult includes things like these little things in the newspaper that want to tell you what your fortune is for that day, your horoscope, and all these different types of things, tea leaves and going to a psychic. All of that is part of the occult. And then we end here with words. And again, it's words that you speak, words that are spoken to you, words that are spoken about you. I remember this little ditty as a kid. Sticks and stones can hurt your bones, but words will never hurt you. Lie from the pit of hell. Words can hurt big time. So words are an important, super, super important category. You know how many scriptures there are in the Bible on words? I've never counted them, but let me tell you, from Genesis to Revelation, there are a lot. This is important in God's mind, and He wants us to get a handle on our words. Okay, now we're down to if led by the Holy Spirit, feel free to call out any sin because the subject may be totally unaware of the sin or its causes. As I mentioned already, it could be generational or a sexual partner sin. Now, for the subject, we talk about we ministers keeping our eyes open. Well, we want the subject to keep their mouth open. No clenched teeth, no holding tight, no arms together like this. You know why? Because the demons need to have this free access to leave. And your body language can give them permission to stay or make them demand to leave. It's up to you. If you keep the, as a subject, you keep your mouth open. Keep your arms down like that. You do not clench your teeth. You know, no body language that's going to hold them in. Just relax. Be led of the Spirit and relax, going with the flow. Command the demons and spirits to leave, except when dealing with mind control spirits, but we won't get into that today. Just command them to leave. Once you've given them what I call their traveling papers, because you've broken the curses and they no longer have the right to stay, then you can tell them to leave. And again, don't be worried about embarrassment. We've all been there. No big deal. What do they say? Been there, done that. It's okay. Now, sometimes people have a feeling of nausea or wanting to vomit. And let me tell you, this is really common, but rarely is anything expelled. And we usually have just little small trash cans available or little buckets, something like that, so that you feel more comfortable feeling like you have something to throw up into if you needed to. But again, it is rare that anything is actually expelled. That's not really a physical sickness going on. That's the demons agitating and creating a situation in you and just making you feel like gagging as they're coming up and out. Don't be concerned with the sins and the demons that are called out. It's possible that you may know nothing about them, their operations, or their sources. That's fine. You don't need to know that. Just get rid of them. Don't need them around. Preparation for the ministers. Fasting is recommended. Okay, we're not requiring it, but it is highly recommended. Your clothing that you wear needs to be loose. You don't want to wear any jewelry, and you want to bring a complete change of clothes. Now, the thing about the jewelry is that if the demons act up, they can grab for things, you know, and we don't want any of that. No distractions. Jewelry can be a distraction, so we leave that out. Loose clothing, you're comfortable, you're free to move and do whatever. The complete change of clothes. Well, we mentioned that water is good for certain categories, the evil spirits, right? And so we do use some water, and sometimes it's a little, and sometimes it's not so little. So it's always good just to be prepared, regardless. You may need them, you may not need them. It's okay. Just be sure and have a complete change of clothes, the whole outfit. And I'm hearing some laughter because we know that that has been necessary sometimes. And please be prepared to take off your socks and shoes. We want to operate in an area where nobody's going to step on anybody else's toes. And if we're doing it just with bare feet, then sometimes we want to anoint the feet of the subject also. And so we're all in alignment with the subject that way. And keep your schedule open for the day. We said it might take, a couple hours, and so we set up a couple hours. But you need to understand that if the demons know you've got this time schedule, all they have to do is just hang on a little bit longer, and then you're going to say, "Okay, time's up. We're done." And they can go, "Oh, good, I get to stay another day." No, if they're close to coming out, we want to press in. We want to get them out. So, if it takes longer, we all need to be willing, through faith and patience, remember, to get the job done. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Now, for the subject, fasting is required. Again, loose clothing, no jewelry, and we suggest no makeup. Don't bother with that. No makeup. They get to see what I look like without makeup. It's okay. You know what? We get comfortable with each other, and it's okay. Because this is the real us, and we love each other no matter what we look like. And really, a lot of times the no makeup isn't that horrible. So the makeup would just get in the way if we use the water and then the mascara is all running down the face and then dripping on the clothes. And now, don't need any of that. So, loose clothing, no jewelry, no makeup, and sandals preferred, again, probably to be taken off so that they're available if we minister to the feet. Sometimes we do by putting them in a little bucket of water, and it's amazing the things that happen with that. Again, the subject should also bring a complete change of clothing, including underwear. And again, keep the schedule open for the day. If they want victory in their lives, they gotta say, "I'm here. I'm committed. I'm ready." Yes. Now, some pointers. I want to mention here that in general, demons act like what they are. For example, fear. You see. You see fear act up. You see your subject act like this, and just you can just sense the fear in the person because that's what it's all about. Sexual, oh my goodness, there's all these all kinds of emotions that we know are related to sexual. We all have seen those, and they are very obvious. And then there's witchcraft. This is a really interesting one because witchcraft deals with snakes. And I have to tell you, the first time I heard a witchcraft spirit cackle, I almost laughed. That's like, wow, it really sounds just like what you would imagine it would. Just think what that cackle would sound like. And that's it. So, witchcraft is pretty obvious. Witchcraft spirits have tentacles. Just picture some of these various, like an octopus kind of thing, with the tentacles going out, wrapped around organs and extending down into the hands. So, you want to understand that this is something that you need to deal with. When you start finding out that there's witchcraft, you look for these things. Typically produce sensations which are felt in the hands, and frequently they leave quietly with expelling of breaths or hissing or they may cackle shortly before leaving, and what they may also do is drive out other spirits before they have to go, and they try to hide. It's really interesting when you're casting a devil out. And they say, "Oh, we're already gone." It's like, yeah, right. You want us to think you're gone? Nuh-uh. No. They say the most interesting things to try to get you off the trail. And then there are control spirits. They are oriented around the head, again with octopus-like tentacles reaching all over the body. And they typically exert pressure and place hooks on the shoulders. And generally will lie to you or stare at you with hate. When you're dealing with these spirits and you look into the eyes of the subject, you can see these spirits. You can see what they're exuding. You can see the hate. You can see the fear. You got to recognize it and go after it. Number four, try to control the body. Control spirits. Try to control the body. So look for body positions which authorize them to stay. For example, again, as I mentioned earlier, the folding arms, head pinned to the side. You got the head pinned to the side. We've had it where really the person couldn't move it. The person didn't even know they couldn't move their head. They were talking to us like everything was normal. But that demon had total control over the body. Masturbation attempts, teeth clenched, sexual positions or actions are all things that you might see. You command them in the name of Jesus to stop doing those actions. We don't need them acting out. We just need them to leave. Remember that we have the authority in the name of Jesus. Authority, power, dominion. What a privilege for us to be able to get these demons out. We want to be a church without spot or wrinkle. Don't you think the spots and the wrinkles might have a little something to do with demons? Just think, once these demons, devils, and evil spirits are out of us, and we get to that goal of calling ourselves a demon-free zone, wow, then we'll be just something very special in God's presence. And that is a goal that we should all aspire to. And I believe we do. And when we come to the next cleansing session, let's put this into practice. And let's get ourselves and each other free. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, amen. Glory to God.
And now let's go right into communion. I hope you have your elements already. Let's take the body of Jesus and let's raise it together in unity. And why don't you all say after me, this is the body of Jesus. On the night he was betrayed, he took bread, and after he had broken it, he gave and said, take and eat you all of this, for this is my body, broken for you. For we thank you, Lord Jesus, that you came to set free all of us who were bruised, that you took away the bruising of our bodies, and by the stripes on your back, we have been healed. We receive the precious body of Jesus and declare that Jesus is our jubilee. We have been restored to all the rights that God gave to Adam, to mankind. We have authority and dominion over the earth and everything that moves up on the earth. And we reckon ourselves dead to sin, but alive to God through Christ Jesus, O Lord. We thank you for the precious body of Jesus. We thank you for living in Jubilee. And we declare that every cell, organ, and system in our bodies, every cell has been healed. Every organ has been healed. Every system has been restored. We have been healed, restored, and rejuvenated by the stripes of Jesus. Let us receive together. And let's lift up the cup with the blood of Jesus. And if you would like, say after me. This is a cup of blessing. This contains the blood of Jesus. Everything that Jesus purchased for me was purchased by his blood. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for shedding your blood for me. It remitted all my sins, washed them away as though they never existed. Though my sins were scarlet, they are washed white as snow. As I receive the precious blood of Jesus, it saturates me from the top of my head to the soles of my feet, saturating every cell, organ, and system in my body, driving out sickness, disease, infirmities, driving out all the lies of the enemy concerning sickness, diseases, and infirmities, filling up all the empty spaces in my body, driving out evil, all the evil that I have rejected, driven out by the blood of Jesus. I thank you, the life is in the blood. As I receive this blood, I'm filled with the life of God. And the life of God drives out evil. The light of God drives out all darkness. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your precious blood. Let us receive together.